I said, no, I really smoked it. And I also inhaled, unlike some people claim.
Hello, cannabis fans. It is Wade here with Cannabiz. And of course, joining me, of course, my lovely co-host, Sean Sanderson and Craig Anderson. Craigos is in Ontario.
Hey. Yeah, hey, fellas.
I am in London, England. And then Sean is in Calgary. Craig, let's talk end of summer. Are you pumpkin spiced into fall? Are you ready for everything?
Absolutely, dude. Just got back from a 5-day backcountry canoe trip.
How was that?
With the wife and furry kids. Awesome. Wow. Awesomeness. I might add it was a birthday trip.
Oh, happy 38th.
Thanks. Thanks, brother.
That's all we do is lie about our age at this age.
All right.
And that's awesome. And so the weather, obviously in Canada, how has it been? Because we all know it's harvesting season. It's getting to harvesting season almost.
It got down to almost freezing one night, but we kept each other warm. You know how it is. It was a two dog and a wife night. Let's say that.
I think I've seen that video in Amsterdam. The first frost. Have you had one in Ontario yet? Has it happened? Because obviously that's a sign for weed growers.
Not where we are.
No, that's good. Because that was always a thing that we sort of learned. I always learned that you wait for the first frost, and then it gives that a bit of a snap to the plant. Like it's got to like, oh no, I'm going to die soon. And it gives that last little generation to it. I don't know. It's
good to know.
Yeah.
You should.
It's nice to have that, and obviously weed laws everywhere. It smells of cannabis everywhere in England, but it's heavily illegal. What can you do about that? Sean Sanderson is out in Cowtown, Calgary. Fall, man, summer's done. How was your summer?
It was good. A lot of travel. We've had a few of those first snaps of that weather. I think I've had it myself as well. So I'm in my final push.
But
it was a good summer. Got some good travel in, and lots of warm days here. Unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of rain. So crop time was over about a month ago. Most of the farming has been done, and everyone's buckling down with the last barbecues and getting ready for weather or winter already.
Wow. It's such a crazy thing. Cause living in England, it is so perfect for growing cannabis. It's 27 degrees here today. It's been hot. I mean, we were in the 30s last week. It's all mid 20s this week.
Toronto and Calgary are about the same. I was in Toronto this week, and we're both operating around 20 degrees and sunny during the day. It's just at night we're dropping down to 2-3 degrees.
Yeah.
Which is good for the plants, I guess. But lots of drama going on in the world. I mean, you guys are starting a war with India for some reason. I don't know what's happening.
What?
I don't know. Yeah. Apparently, they're killing people. It's not cannabis related. I think if everyone smoked weed, we wouldn't have this. But
absolutely.
All the drama that goes on with it, but it is harvesting season. You know, everyone's getting pumpkin spicy. I remember this in university because obviously you go through the doldrums when you run out of herb, right? And you're like, oh my God, I'm out, man. And you're waiting. You know, we didn't have these fancy hydroponic growers when I was a kid. You grew it outside, and that's the way we liked it. But you'd run out. And so you'd have some guy that would have like a big mason jar that'd be gone. But I just remember like, you feel like you win the lottery, you know, this time of year. Like I remember taking some of my university money, which I was supposed to use to pay tuition. And I bought a whole bunch of weed and I sold it. But
as you do.
You do. And you make money because it's like, wow, I could give that money to the faculty and the dean of the university. Or I buy a bunch of weed and turn it real quick.
That's another kind of education that you're spreading.
But it is. And also you learn, you can't do that with mushrooms. I made that mistake. One night you're like, I'm going to eat a handful. And then a Wendell Clark poster jumps off the wall and is taking slap shots at your face.
Oh.
We're talking politics. We're going to talk a little politics in this one, I think, guys. We want to look at macro politics because, you know, I think the thing we were talking about earlier is in terms of cannabis, in terms of the negatives, the cannots in cannabis. When you legalize it somewhere, there's always the potential that a new government could come in and shut it down. Or when you're building something, they could shut it down. I think we've touched on it, but America has an election coming up, and there's some very different approaches to it all. Biden, I don't think, remembers what he was going to say. just wanders off to the corner. They want to sort of keep going. I think the Dems want to make sure that it's fully, you know, federal. But, you know, Trump obviously is the leader and the other side, and he's basically wanting to shut it all down.
Wow.
How does it look from you guys when you from America? Sean, you've probably been there the most recently. What have you seen in terms of America? I haven't been there in ages. So, you know, weed policy.
Well, I think the thing that I noticed the most is that the average weed user, young or old, is sort of like has no idea of this discussion that we're about to have. Like, they don't even know which side is in it or out of it. I think there's a lot of people who just assume it's all good.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to happen. They're not even aware that there's politics behind it. So the question is, how big a deal are these politics to whether, you know, the weed continues to expand? And then the reality is the states have already moved forward, like independent states. Mm-hmm. So even federally, they say yes or no. I don't think it'll stop the states individually.
But it won't, but it affects their banking ability, right? It affects your ability. You have to carry large amounts of cash. And also, you can't offer things to employees like, you know, if you're pregnant and I can offer you benefits. There's certain federal things that are not applicable, which make it very difficult. And the banking is the big one. And I think, you know, we're talking about that the Republicans, there are Republicans looking at it going, actually, we should talk to Congress on this because, you know, it's easy to rob these people. You know, someone's got 20 grand, right? And and then also the difficulty is too, is that interstate law, that there are certain police officers that know that if you're in a state that's a green state and that there might be people transiting either product and or cash, they nail them for that by going through your state. And I think a lot of people know, it's like, you know, so if you're in a state neighboring, you know, anyone around Utah, you know, Utah is never going to legalize it. Come on. So anyone who's going around Utah, it's like, well, we're just, you know, they're trying to transport drugs.
Yeah.
I guess it's just, you know, because you've got, have you guys looked at this RFK guy? Do you know anything about RFK?
He's a little bit.
Kennedy that survived.
Yeah. And I saw.
No Chappaquiddick or no airplane accidents. But
yet, I see he's in favor. He has personal experience dealing with substance abuse and feels that, yeah, decriminalizing it and maybe legalizing cannabis, using the funding from using the taxes to fund rehabilitation. Sure, I think that's a great policy.
He does have some. He seems a bit of a Hollywood nutter as well, because he's married to that girl from Cheryl, whatever, from Curb Your Enthusiasm. And he's I don't know. It seems a bit weird, but he's got this whole anti-vax and then cannabis. He's got a couple of issues. You're sort of like, they seem to counter each other. I don't know. But in terms of the way that America is going, you know, I just find it, I don't know. I just don't know how they're going to really sell the situation. Because
I guess it's a vote getter, though, if you're offering that and you know there's a large percent of the population in favor, then go with it.
Or they can just get some, I guess, influencer who has a sexual identity that they don't like. They do something again. That's what we're not doing. We're not going to do that. Social tribalism. So because the other reason we're talking about this is, too, because we've talked about Thailand before. Sean is a big fan of Thailand. I'm a big fan. And we've all been there. Lovely place. Lovely people. Great food. It's like one of the happiest places. It's really the happiest place to go. And the drugs policy, there's always been like, you know, we know it. You could smoke their crappy weed, but they're very lovely. And they it was around, right?
Yeah.
The new prime minister, and they've been looking at sort of how they're going to decriminalize it and legalize it. And you know, Sean was there and saw some of the shops, right? And now the new prime minister, Tavison, is like, nah, well, I think we got to shut this down. I guess from a macro question, I'm sort of asking you guys, how, if you're a business, if you've leveraged your family, you've mortgaged things to invest in a business, and then suddenly a government, you know, just changes the policy. I don't know. The fairness to me is something I'd like to know your guys' thoughts on that.
John, what do you think?
John?
Did we lose him?
No, I'm here. I'm listening. You guys are insane. also, I just got back from a 2-day trip and it was a bit of a bender. So there's a whole other topic I want to share on British American Tobacco and vaping after we get into this I just got to experience.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think it's, of course, challenging because you know, with any business, and I see this in, you know, whether it's someone, you know, the chef that knows nothing what they're doing, they open a restaurant, they blow through their life savings on their first go. And this is a scenario where someone's entered into a business plan that they've probably been waiting their whole life for, especially if they're into cannabis. And they've spent their life savings. They've opened something. They've invested in, you know, the operation, supply chain, marketing, you know, whatever it is. 2 years into a business, someone comes along and go, yeah, we don't really care. We're just going to shut this all down. And they put a lock on your door. It's, you know, it doesn't happen in any other industry. And it's cavalier why it doesn't matter for people that are in a cannabis industry. I mean, you know, the way that they think that they can do that. But it's overly not surprising in Asia, because that's what happens in Asia. Just happens whenever people want it to happen. Governments pretty much do what they want, democratic or not. If you look at Singapore's a great example of where people feel they have a ton of rights and privileges. The reality is they have the rights and privileges the government decides that they have.
But you could smoke hella weed there though, right? go ahead.
I think it's the perception versus the reality is sometimes different. And should people be that surprised that they could be shut down? I don't know. Is it fair? No, but does fair really matter? You know, and so look, it sucks. But I mean, would that, I don't know if that would actually, you know, I think we were talking just before this call, like imagine you get the Democrats in the US and they say, yeah, it's a go. And then a couple years later, a guy like, you know, Trump comes in and then he says, no, we're going to shut it all down. The good thing is, and again, maybe I'm being naive here, is I think even if somebody said, yeah, 2 years later, they're going to shut it down, I don't think you could just do it so easily in a place like the US, because I think there is so many, I mean, I just see this being tied up in the courts for so long that people are like, nah, I mean, we got businesses, it's been legalized, there's supply chains, British American Tobacco now, for example, is fully in the weed business. I mean, I just don't think it's so easy once something's implemented. I think there's enough protectionism in business and case law that you can't just do that. Now, again, I might be being naive. That stuff doesn't exist in most, you know, most Asian countries. Actually, most of the world, other than Europe and North America, do we see that type of protection that allows for people to invest and not have to worry the government's just going to shut something down 60 seconds later.
Yeah, I think probably people popping up those businesses, for example, in Thailand or anywhere over there, it's a gamble. Yeah, they know it could. That's why they just go for it as soon as it's possible. And then, roll the dice that it's going to get shut down. So
the problem is
they're more prepared.
I think the problem is, and to your point, though, and I agree with you, Sean, maybe there should be protections, but there's not. The only people that get protected and the only people that have enough cash flow to protect themselves are the British tobaccos, are the big people. If you're an independent person who's invested your life savings into that and they say, we're shutting it down, you know, if you're a big enough company, you can absorb that, you know, just like dealing business with Russia. But if you're someone who's, you know, invested all the cars, you're for home in this one shop and it goes down, it's always small businesses that get punched. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, what we're seeing. And it's funny enough, too. This is in Canada, you know, because the big businesses thought they were going to come in here and crush it. They thought they were going to come in. You've got Canopy. You've got all these guys that have come in and said, we're going to do this. And they're the ones that went out first. And it's the small people that have been surviving. I don't know why that speaks to that. I think they probably overestimated what they thought Canadians were going to buy. They really thought that their products were so good. But, you know, in some cases, it's nice to see when the little guy wins, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
Germany is you know, they're legalized. So they're trying to get up to 25 grams as well. But as we all know, Germany's economy is not doing well. You know, after the whole Merkel era, they decided to go all green. And now with the price of Russian gas not being as cheap as it was, everything's very expensive. The economy's struggling, manufacturing struggling. And so the whole cannabis thing, they're struggling to get it off the ground because realistically people are like, you know what, we kind of want jobs first and to get our strong economy back, because there was a decade where Germany was indefatigable, you know, like they were just so amazing. I guess I'm just, what kind of thoughts, what do you guys thought? Because I've always thought Germany is like I love Germany, you know, Berlin is such an amazing place. Great, you know, and you just sort of go, it would be nice to see these countries get it right, you know, because in England, we're getting it so wrong that, and I think if it would piss off England so much, if Germany's like, hey, we got this right, we're doing it and we're making huge tax money. That's the thing that's going to make Britain go, okay, we're doing it too.
Yeah, well, it all comes back to the dollar, the pound, the whatever the currency may be. But yeah, I think if they do it, it's great for their economy and it's going to set a precedence in Europe and as a bigger country legalizing it. So hopefully they do it right to make a template for other European countries and internationally to follow. For a larger population?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's, I think the interesting thing, it sort of sent things to talk about, and I'd mention to you guys, you know, because certain economies, and let's talk about cocaine, you know, don't do it. I love the smell of it. No.
Everybody's quiet.
Yeah. Everybody. But it's now overtaken oil as Colombia's national export, number one export. You have its neighbors, you know, not being too happy about this. And I think, you know, we had sort of talked earlier, heroin trade, you know, when before the Taliban, you know, did their whole let's shut up all the women thing that they're doing now. You know, the heroin trade was flowing freely, and the U.S. military, when they were there, they were helping it because they knew it was paying for the farmers. Now, you know, one of the things the Taliban got right is there's pretty much no heroin. There's not going to be any heroin this year. Sorry, kids. There's no heroin this year. You know, they make a lot
of it. Crop. It was a tough farming year.
Yeah, very tough. Taliban, not very good on it. But now we look at the effect of the opioid crisis and the synthetics and fentanyl.
Before you get serious here, you think like, you know, and you know how you have hail insurance in Canada, you get Taliban insurance
I don't think you get it. I don't think you would ever get it. I don't think so. Because the Taliban are literally running the country. It's like, so you want insurance from us, do you? Yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't
think the premium would be outrageous.
I don't think Ernst & Young Kabul probably exists. I think a lot of people have left.
How about Kabul and Associates? They might offer it.
They might. I don't know. I haven't really looked into Afghani law in a while. It's been so
back to the opioid crisis.
Back to the opioid. Yeah, let's go back to opioid, because America, man, they really got opioided. And they got the whole trank stuff and stuff going on. But my whole thing, I guess, is once you shut down, you know, heroin, it's quite soft when you compare it to the fentanyl and the carfentanils and stuff like that. Like, you'd rather go, it's a heroin guy. Yeah, they've done it since the 20s, as opposed to, oh, that person's on trank. I guess what I'm saying is, what's that going to do to the pills market when you take away one of the biggest, you know, drugs there. And then you got, you know, cocaine being flooded, as you know, Colombia is now promoting or exporting more cocaine than ever. However, people are cutting it with fentanyl, making, you know, and then you got the deal. Like, obviously, a lot of guys in Colombia going, please don't cut our stuff with fentanyl because we don't want you to ruin and kill our people. So you've got the Colombians getting upset about fentanyl. Like, it's just, it's a mad, mad world, isn't it? For the drugs. And it's just like, everyone's just like, oh, this is just natural.
Well, so we had this conversation, I think it was on our last little session. And it was around how, it was our last session. We were talking about how, you know, everybody, you know, you're sitting around and you offer someone maybe some cannabis and they're like, oh, no, I'm, you know, good. But then you pull out some powder and they're like, oh, yeah, no, we'll do some of that. And I wanted to top up on that because I was out and about this week and there was a big vape launch by BAT in Toronto, which again, I wasn't there for that, but happened to stroll into this this private party and it was, and I had no idea it was for vape. It just looked really cool. And and then to go into it and man, the number of people that were carrying not vape or cannabis, but carrying the powder stuff. I mean, we're talking 80% of the people.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's like, I think more people, even though it was a BAT party, more people had powder than they had cigarettes.
Were they all British?
No, they were the Canadian version of the company that were there to do the vape launch in Canada. And it, I mean, I didn't get what was so innovative. I think they had a new wrapper on their vape stick, but
just a reason to.
Yeah.
They were chatting about it endlessly in the toilets. You know, the whole thing's a wrapper. We got the wrapper. It's a new wrapper. The wrapper's okay.
That's interesting.
I was like, wow. And I mean, it's not like, again, I'm shocked by any of that stuff, but I was more shocked by how many people had access to it. Then I was more curious about, you know, because now with the cannabis, there's a quality thing, right? You know, there's the stores, you've got to have certain, I mean, it's probably still not perfect, but at least there's some regulation. I mean, you're completely unregulated. It would be an amazing experience to take those 10 people, send the two away because the only 8 of them had, and then line up all their stuff and go, okay, let's see who's got the best stuff. And, you know, and then get the scientists in there and do the real, actually bring in some of those Colombian guys so they can actually tell you what is the good stuff. And, I'm sure half the stuff that was there or 60% of it was garbage. But it doesn't matter. They had access to it. And the fact is, didn't seem like it was overly difficult for them to get it, which means there's a whole nother thing going on that is, I mean, it's not new, but like, I don't even know. I mean, when was the last time you got the whole, Reagan speech on drugs? I mean, I don't even know. Do even people say drugs are bad anymore? I it's crazy.
No, they say Instagram is bad and Facebook's bad. Drugs. Well, yeah.
Drugs are okay. Instagram bad.
It's
okay. TikTok's bad because the Chinese are watching.
Yeah. It is interesting you mentioned that because a friend of mine, there's another guy named Ryan, you haven't met an American guy, but he lived in Switzerland and he was saying that you can basically, no matter what, the Swiss, you know, with their drugs, you can send them your drugs and they will test them and give them back to you and say, here's how they test. And then there's no judgment, you know, even though it's illegal, you can give us your drugs and we'll tell you if it's how good they are and you get it, and we'll give them back.
And they'll give them back.
Give them back to you. Yeah, give them back to you. And they'll say, yeah, this is it. This is the purity of it. Because they don't want people dying. They don't want people dying from bad drugs. Now, it's a very Swiss thing. You know, it's like, we're not going to say it's legal, but we also don't want you to die. It's logical.
Yes.
And you look at it, you know, we see the amount of fentanyl deaths that are happening. You know, you start to see all these celebrities. It's like, oh, he had a sudden heart attack at a party. Come on. He was Fenty.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people. Yeah. You know, you're starting to see the Mac Millers and the other kids. I don't know if the kid from the show and the thing and the hey and the kids and the stuff. I don't know. But all the kids are dying. It's
not good. Not good for business.
It's not. You know, the other thing, America's got an Adderall shortage now. You know, Adderall. I don't know. Is that for paying attention, right? I don't know.
I don't know an offer. You should be taking it, man.
I got
dude.
The hit. What is it? The thing disease. Yeah, but I mean, Adderall. And here's the thing, because you know, we all see living in Europe and as a Canadian, you watch American commercials and it's like, you need this drug. Mm. Side effects of this drug will include killing yourself, shitting yourself. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you're like, why? Yeah. Why? You see the power of, yeah. of you know, the big pharma. You know, it's... go ahead.
Did you happen to see, I just watched it recently because I was recommended it, the series Painkiller, Netflix series Painkiller?
Yeah, I did see it. It's a drama, right, with Matthew Broderick?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's, you know, the whole oxycodone thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, it's ruthless, man. It's ruthless, that business.
The family, you know, obviously the families that got into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but can it be done well? Can the pharmaceutical business be done properly?
You talk to any, so like some of the biggest rockers, like Keith Richards, that always said, my life got infinitely worse as soon as I got into pills. If I would have just stayed on the other stuff, I'd be fine. As soon as you get into the pills, it messes everything up.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Tilray, we were talking about them last time. They're continuing to jumping into the alcohol and cannabis beverages. And I guess we're like, how difficult is that going to be? You know, obviously you can't mix. You can't have a boozy beverage with cannabis in it. Or
that's
in our lifetime.
I was just wondering, is that what they've got up their sleeve? They're considering that? Or?
I think they're just going to do a line of cannabis drinks and alcohol drinks.
Separate.
Yeah, but I mean, someone's got to push for it, right? Someone's got to, because there are some... I've had some of the cannabis drinks in Canada. They're kind of crap. Yeah, you know, you're like, it's got 10. And I'm like, I don't feel like anything. You know, I'm still driving fine. You know,
I don't know.
No one in the back's driving.
I've found some good ones I like.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But as you know yourself, THC affects different people in different ways. And,
yeah.
Drinking it perhaps also adds different wrinkle to the difference.
I was going to ask, I mean, maybe you know this because I don't go to the cannabis shops very often, but is someone like BAT actually in or well invested, or do they do much in the Canadian cannabis space?
I don't know. And that would be a good question to see how big they are. I mean,
well, there's a reason I asked that, because it comes back to that whole, like, invest your life savings and set up a business.
Mm-hmm.
If someone like BAT, who is, by the way, massive in vapes, which I didn't actually realize. I mean, like, if you look at their investment, they've actually, like, they're rolling way bigger into the whole vape market than they are currently in the cigarette market, because they think the cigarette market's pretty much dead. But now they're like, we can get all the youngins on vapes and we're locked in for the next 30 years. So, I mean, they know what they're doing. They're doing it quietly. But if they're not investing in cannabis, that would tell me that, I mean, and they obviously know how to make money, that they're not fully bought in that it's going to work out, or that it's that big of a business. It's kind of an interesting thing, right? You get a big company like that that could easily get into that space. Look, maybe there's regulation stuff. Maybe they're not allowed to because they control too much of the tobacco market. I don't know. I mean, there might be a reason. It's got nothing to do with the business. But if it was purely, if we go back to the alcohol example, if they can do it and they can get into the alcohol and the cannabis drinks market, I don't know why a tobacco company couldn't be fully into the weed market. And if they're not, are they basically saying, we're just going to take a beat on this until we're really sure?
You know, it's an interesting question, because I think there's an argument to say they probably are heavily involved and we just don't know it. I mean, if you see this is a company, an industry, if you see that this market is declining and you're losing to someone else, you're either going to shoo them and say, screw it, or you're going to jump on board and figure out a way in. Now, maybe they did it with Limited, where you're saying you set up certain limited companies and you take a loss. And if we lose that business, we're losing part of a shell. We're not losing part of the whole. But it would make sense for them to get fully involved. But, you know, obviously, as a branding, you don't want people to know. It's like, hey, Big Tobacco's here. Hey, you crazy cannabis kids. We always knew this was great.
Yeah.
I think people are going to turn on it. So I think there's, you know, it's what you're not going to, it's like British American Tobacco, you're not going to do anything. You're going to like have different brands. So It would be interesting to see exactly how many of the big tobacco players have a hand in everything. And if there's any listeners out there who have any information, please, we would love to. This would be great to know. Because that's a very good question, Sean. How many people are involved, and to what level, and you know, to what degree of loss are they willing to take in this?
Well, but I mean, there is a public example, and again, has nothing to do with BAT, but Canopy Growth, right? I mean, that company exploded and has just, I mean, they're down to a shell of their organization that they were two and a half, 3 years ago. They just sold whatever their big location factory back to, I think it was Nestle.
Yeah. Swiss Falls bought it back. They put $10 million into that factory, and Nestle's like, thanks a lot. Okay, we'll take this.
Yeah. I mean, but I mean, they've got nothing to do with big tobacco, and they're all in the weed business. And it's not like regulation slowed down rolling out, you know, weed across Canada. I mean, there's more stores than you can think of. So, maybe it is an interesting topic, but maybe it's just not that big of a business. I mean, maybe the business is, maybe there's a few people, including, you know, we're having this fun podcast. I mean, maybe we're talking about something that, and I go back to that whole example of what are people carrying in their pockets when they go out to party?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it's something that people love, and it is something that, you know, a good chunk of the population does, but is it that big? Is it big enough to warrant regulation and huge amount of stores and even being a topic on the US ballot? I mean, like, maybe that's just crazy that it's even a topic. I don't know. I'm wondering why
drugs as a whole should be, and maybe cannabis isn't. And
yeah, I mean, cannabis is just one wedge of the whole drug, pie, and maybe it's getting too much airtime because, I mean, again, I was walking down the streets in Toronto, and the number of psychedelic shops that are open, and that's not legal. Like, I mean, it's not illegal. It's sort of this, but the point is, these are shops with big mushroom signs and stuff, and lit up. I mean, there's no cops outside.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering again, is it just that this is the softest one? Is that's why it's getting all the play, because it's the most close to being legal? But is it the biggest deal? I mean, and again, if BAT is not into this business, then again, maybe they are, maybe someone could jump on and tell us about what big tobacco in the world is doing. But if they're not in, it tells me that somebody knows better than everybody else. And these guys probably know better than everybody else on how to make money. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm wondering, is weed the gateway discussion for legalization? Well, it is interesting you mentioned
gateway. Yeah, because you mentioned gateway, and it's like people used to equate the argument that it was a gateway drug in terms that if you did it, you eventually would then be on heroin.
Yeah,
but the idea is, in terms of the real gateway is legalization. People going, well, we got weed through. Let's push in mushrooms. Let's see about coke. Let's see about heroin. And then you look at Vancouver, where it actually has happened, because when you have things like fentanyl, it's like, okay, we have to capitulate. We have to allow you to have these other things, because if you get anything with fentanyl in it, you die. I don't know. Maybe we do need to have this, you know, cohesive strategy for it to make sure that we don't get any of this filler that people are putting in to kill everyone. It's a fascinating argument. Well, I ended on one thing, though. The one thing I want to talk lastly is that they're looking at doing an outdoor weed smoking space in Canada. Now, I would have thought this would be so easy, but this True Green Cannabis is trying to do an outdoor space where people can smoke safely outside. I mean, to me, this just seems like a Canadian thing. Like, yeah, it should be easy. Let's go to the park and watch. I mean, we used to go to the park and watch in High Park and watch the kids play Little League. That was great when you're high. And then people are like, which kid is yours? You're like, what kid? I don't have kids. But it's finding an outdoor space, you know, or for something like
is
this.
Is that like all the weed guys sitting beside all the pedophiles watching the kids play?
I was going to make a comment about that. But
the pedophiles get way too into the game. Weed heads are just like, it's not my kid. I don't care. The other one's not. He's hitting 247. He's 2 for 5 today. It's like, and he looks great in those shorts. And you're like, now. I'm just stoned. It's just the idea that you actually have to have this, you know, thought out weed community.
Yeah,
urban bazaar.
It does seem silly.
But it should almost, you should almost have it, because the streets of Toronto, when I was there, smelled mostly of piss, but secondly of weed. And you sort of go, if you don't actually create, or if you don't actually allow people to have smoking areas, then you are just going to have people smoking all over public. So why not give them, why not give people a really cool place to smoke? And it's good for the city. You go, you know what? We don't need them here. They're actually going to come to our rooftop and they can smoke there and they can have great food and music. It's just small.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It makes sense. It should be, well, they used to make tobacco smoking areas everywhere. Yeah. Why not? Why not have cannabis smoking areas?
That's it. That's all I'm
not thinking. Not that you have to confine it, but to make a space that it's known. If you want to go there, you go. If you don't, you don't go there.
It's just an amenable. It just gets people off, because I don't know. I just find it was all of the streets. That's just me being an old man. Any final thoughts, gentlemen? We are to finish up this podcast, and we want more guests. We want people to reach out. Thank you for everyone who has reached out. We are trying to fill out our schedule to get you in there, but we want to talk. We're very curious, gentlemen. Final thoughts, anyone? Sean, Craig, anything you want to think about?
Well, just on that note of having to, I just came from the backcountry forest where we didn't see anybody for 5 days.
Yeah,
and I mean, that is a perfect place to be indulging in cannabis, and it's just, I guess those cities, you got to get out of the cities, really get back to nature, smoking nature in nature. I think that's total balance. So that's
very zen.
Yeah, man. Well, it's fresh in my mind, and can't be anywhere else but in nature.
It's better than smoking a hit off a one hitter outside of a Weatherspoons and Aldgate. I'll tell you that. Sean?
Well, it was a pleasure talking to you guys as always. It's always good fun. And
absolutely, dude.
But I think the idea of the final thoughts, it's Friday. It's a bit counterintuitive to even be thinking. So I'm just going to say it's a pleasure chatting with you guys as always.
Yeah, this guy's hungover. Who's got two thumbs hungover? This guy in Calgary.
Hey, folks, easy. Yeah, I slept for the last 16 hours.
Oh, good for you. We're not going to ask the BAT people what happened there. Folks, thanks a lot for listening for this episode of another episode of Cannabiz. We really appreciate you. Please make sure you check out the website, cannabiz.com. Follow us on Twitter or the X. And of course, please get in touch with us. You can find everything on the website. Reach out. We want to talk to you. We love talking. Thanks for listening.
I said, no, I really smoked it. And I also inhaled. Unlike some people claim.